Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here. Will we be singing his praises?
I will be. I'm an Eric Zorn fan. I don't say that because you're here, Eric. Nice to see you.
Do you say it every hour on the hour?
I say it almost every hour on the hour.
Instead of hearing it.
Instead of a time check?
Eric Zorn is my favorite time, 6:05. Let's start out with something good, because it's going to get a little dicey toward the end.
It probably will, yes.
Yeah.
I want to talk, you know, every month. Do you remember this, Bill? Every month on this very radio program, I read the top 10 tweets
this
of the
news
previous
to me.
Month.
That's why he sings the praises of Zorn.
Yep. That's why you sing my praises, because yep. I'm like your walking memory. But every month we do this. Every week in the Tribune, I do a reader poll online, mm-hmm. and people vote, and there's usually 10, 12 tweets. Of those tweets, I then pick my favorites. I don't mm-hmm. care what the readers say. These are my favorites from the month, and we post these online, and you connect them through your Facebook page. And so I don't do the attributions, because that would ruin my comedic timing.
Sure.
Which is really finally
impeccable.
Finally honed. But here are the top 10 tweets of the month.
In no particular order,
actually. First one, one good thing about taking the high road, traffic is light these days. While at a museum, ask yourself these three questions. What is the artist's intention? How does the art make you feel? And have you stood in front of the art as long as a smart person would? If you can't Wang Chung tonight, please let me know the nights you are available to Wang Chung. I want to skip to the end of the Trump movie, where it fades out and captions tell us how long they each got in prison. Not to brag, but I've been told that I'm a fine one to talk.
Oh, very good.
It's a little dialogue here. Me, I wish I had a nickname. Coworker, you do. I like that one. Like most white men, I'm empathic enough to understand how you experience your life better than you ever will. It would be nice if you made the effort to understand that.
Oh, well, nice. Yeah,
pretty wry here. Mm-hmm. Believe me, eating indoors every day is no picnic. My wife has this weird way of starting every conversation with, "Are you even paying attention?" And the last one, criticizing Trump in a book is just unfair. It's like criticizing the Amish on television.
Because they ain't going to see it.
He ain't going to read it.
That's why.
Those are the top 10 tweets.
What a great month it is for tweets, Eric.
I thought it was a good month.
It was a very good month for tweets. All right, so that's the happy. Now let's try the unhappy.
The unhappy is this whole business with Judge Kavanaugh. And I know you've talked about it earlier today, but I cannot stay away from it. Mm-hmm. It is, I think, the defining story maybe of this year. And it's got a sort of a generational feel to it. It's going to be one of these stories like the Anita Hill story that we're still talking about in 25 years.
Yeah,
I watched the hearing. I'm sure you guys watched it the other
couldn't
day.
Pull away from it.
I've written about it a couple times already, and you know, my feeling is that it's very hard to say, you know, who's lying. You know, he's 100% sure that he's right. She's 100% sure that she's right. But so then, what we have to ask ourselves is to take a look at what he said about his own high school years and what he said about what was in his yearbook. And, you know, people say, well, what difference does it make? He, like, this was, you know, 40 years ago, not 40, but, you know, 36 years ago.
Yeah.
What some stupid thing he wrote in his yearbook. Why does that make any difference as to whether he's on the Supreme Court? And the answer is, it really doesn't matter to me if he was drinking too heavily in high school or even in college. And it doesn't matter to me if he and his friends made stupid sexist jokes. But it matters to me a great deal, and it should matter to all of us, whether he's lying about it today. And that's really the problem, is when we talk about this girl, Renate, is that how you say her name? Or Renata?
Renata, I thought.
There was a girl who was going to another prep school nearby. It was all girls school, and this was an all boys school. And members of the football team, and I guess Kavanaugh was on the football team, but there's like nine guys. And in the yearbook, they kept making these like leering references to this girl.
Right.
And, you know, anyone who remembers that sort of jock bro culture from high school knows what this was about. It was basically, you know, an attempt at slut shaming, right?
Yeah.
They were like,
she was easy.
She was easy. The little poem they published about her suggested she was easy. Terrible thing to do. Odious thing to do to a girl who didn't know about it at the time.
Didn't she read the yearbook?
She only, well, it's not her high school.
Oh, that's right.
It's not her high school. So, you know, so there's all these jokes about how they're alumni of her. And
yeah.
You know, meaning, suggesting that they had had their, they had sex with her. And again, you know, whether they did or didn't have sex with her, doing that to somebody, especially behind their back, it's just an awful thing to do. But it's the kind of awful thing that high school boys do, okay? I mean, it's, and it is, I think it is a forgivable thing that, certainly it's a forgivable thing to have done that. I mean, you have to apologize for
right.
it. And all of us have said things, probably teased people, things that we shouldn't have done back in those days. The shame of it now, in my mind, is that he is lying about that. He's clearly lying about it. And anyone with any common sense knows that when he got up on Thursday and said, oh, we were just friends with her, this was just our way of saying we were friends with her. Well, that's just nonsense.
And then he yelled at one of the senators who brought it up, saying, you're just bringing her name up. It's really, you shouldn't bring her name up. Now the public is aware of this, and you're just shaming her some more.
Well, you know, but that's the problem. He doesn't own this thing. I mean, and so the fact that he doesn't own that, and there were some other references that he made to, like, the Devil's Triangle,
yeah.
which he says is a drinking game, which
but
I've
everyone
never
else says it's not.
Everyone else says that it's not, that it's a reference to group sex, and there's some other slang they use, some other things that clearly reference unwholesome teenage boy, gross juvenile adolescent, testosterone-fueled things that these guys were doing. And okay, so he was not a model citizen in high school, but the problem was that he was trying to portray himself under oath as this kid who just went to church and lifted weights with Squee.
PJ and all
and
the gang.
Oh, PJ. Well, all of course, PJ.
Who? All right, does somebody counsel him and say, we need to paint you as a very religious, very cased child who did nothing wrong, who was an altar boy, a Cub Scout? Does somebody sit him down and go, this is the image of you that we need to sell to America? Or does he do that on his own?
I don't know. It seems to me like that would be some really bad advice if somebody gave him that advice. Like, you have to have been like a model child, because nobody really expects or cares whether someone was a model child in high school.
But all of
when
his
53
stories
years old.
Are heading in that direction.
He could also be, you know, a drinker and partier and not have done this. It's just, if he would have said, you know what, things got out of hand in high school, but I know I didn't do this.
Yeah, that certainly would have been a defensible
best,
way
yeah.
of saying it. Or,
but he kind of alluded to that a couple times. Kind of said, some of us had too much to drink, and then other times others of us had too much to drink.
He never said he did, and they asked if he ever passed out from drinking, and he said, I love this answer. He goes, well, I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what passing out is?
Yeah. I mean, the message is what is so strange, and what to me is like the piece of string that you pull on that starts making this whole nomination unravel, which is this guy got up in front of the country, got up in front of Congress, raised his right hand, and he lied about who he was in high school. And the only reason I can think that he would do that is that he's trying to make it seem less likely that this happened with Christine Blasey Ford.
Sure.
Make it less likely that it happened. And again, you know, I've said on this show, I think, even that if he did this, if there was this encounter in this bedroom that he doesn't remember, which is possible.
It is possible.
But if you drink that much, you might not remember that, or you're in part of a culture where this kind of thing just happens and it's considered funny. It wouldn't be memorable to him. He could say, like, this might have happened. I don't think so. It might have happened, but you know, if it did, I'm really sorry. It certainly doesn't reflect who I am now. We would be well beyond that right
yep.
now. And there's an excellent argument that somebody made in the online magazine Vox about the movie 16 Candles. Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
You guys remember the one of the plot points in this movie, which we all thought was so funny back in the 80s, which is when these guys were growing up, is that the star jock gives his cheerleader girlfriend to the dweeb, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Bill knows like who the gaffer was in this movie, but I don't remember the names of the characters. But
yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall was the dweeb, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea is that the star, the jock, gives his completely drunken girlfriend, says, here, you know, basically have your way with her. Now, I guess maybe he did or didn't. I don't remember the movie that well, but anyway, we all thought this was really kind of funny, right? And then in Animal House, there's that scene where the devil's on one shoulder,
sure.
the angel's
yeah.
on the other, and this is played for laughs.
Yeah.
Like, no one thinks, like, this is a crime that's about to happen.
Right,
and
right, right.
I don't think that people in that generation used terms like sexual assault and rape to refer to that kind of activity. I mean, they should have. It was, but they didn't. That wasn't the culture then. And I think that's true. When these cultural messages are telling you, hey, the girl gets drunk, yeah, it's your opportunity. Go for it, pal. Or maybe not. You know, if you remember what happens at the end of the Animal House scene, do you remember this?
I don't remember what happened.
The angel wins. The angel says, don't do it. And the devil says, you homo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the culture that we were in. So when he's growing up in this culture, and it seems like it's a real alcohol-fueled version of that culture, to say, like, oh, no, we were just going to church and lifting weights, me and Squee and PJ and who are the ones?
All the kids were there.
And it's like, this wholesome thing that doesn't happen.
Hold that thought. Eric Zorn is our guest from the Chicago Tribune. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're getting some calls. We're talking about the Kavanaugh hearings. I'm very curious
to hear. People interested in that?
People are
interested in this.
People are a little interested in it, Eric.
Wow.
Hard to believe. Ed, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. What did you want to say about it?
I just wanted to say, I think I'm glad that Eric's there today and explain. That's what I've told everybody that's asked me. I think both of these people are absolutely telling the truth.
They can't be.
And it's a different.
No, they could be.
How could they?
Well, hang on. It's a different perspective.
Look, it's a different perspective. I graduated in the 70s. Guys, I'm telling you, that wasn't all that unacceptable to be pushing girls around. And it's terrible. It's not what it should have been. And it traumatized her. She's a 15-year-old girl, and she was hanging around with 17-year-old boys. She got in over her head, and these guys... It was a night for them what they did to most girls, you know.
But
and the girls they got.
But Ed, I mean, he says he wasn't even at the party. Not that it got out of hand or didn't get out of hand. He says he wasn't even there.
Well, I know he's lying.
Oh, so they're not both telling the truth. See, that's what the problem is.
He's lying because he did it. That's why every time he says, well, I was a football captain, basketball captain, I went to church, I did my laundry, folded everything. I mean, he did everything right. He's trying to build a case for him being so perfect that how could this one night destroy what was a beautiful life, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, great point, Ed. Totally appreciate your phone call.
I would say I'm probably about Ed's vintage, too. I graduated from high school in the 70s, and this kind of thing was common, but I certainly hope that Ed didn't do that kind of thing, and I know I didn't do that kind of thing.
And I didn't run across guys that did that. I mean, yeah, there were guys trying things, maybe, but they understood, hey, cut it out.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, there's a big difference between being cavalier about sex and being sexist and awkward and all those things and assaulting somebody. So, but
one
anyway.
Of my biggest fears was if you watched Dr. Ford, you'd say to yourself, the mere act of coming forward and telling your story it could backfire on you. I mean, she's getting death threats. She has to move out of her house with her family. How about this? The National Sexual Assault Hotline has announced that they just had their busiest day in history the day after the Kavanaugh hearing. So people who saw it, despite the risks that you would take in coming forward and telling your story, there's still all these people who feel the need to tell their story. That's a good thing.
I have heard so many, just in casual conversation, I've heard women who I will bring this up to, and so many of them have had experiences that are similar to this, that they're not like strangers jumping out of the bushes and dragging you in and raping you. These are things that are sort of more subtle, but they are also very wrong.
Right.
And they are now getting the vocabulary to talk about them and process those stories, and you can hear them all the time. I mean, it is something that I think this is a real cultural moment.
Sure.
It's about more than this than just this Supreme Court nomination, and I hope that it opens young people's eyes, particularly because they're the ones who are the most at risk for doing this kind of stuff.
Kellyanne Conway told her story to Jake Tapper over the weekend.
Unbelievable. So
yeah,
it's not funny. Kellyanne Conway, I am sorry that this happened, but you know, when Jake even said I'm sorry, she was like, I don't want to talk about this. Don't go there. I mean, it's got to happen. It's got to be a conversation, and you can't doubt everyone that comes forward.
Do we have time for one more call real quick?
Yes.
Trina, we only have a minute, but go ahead, please.
I just want to say that I was one of those people that was sexually assaulted, abused, and raped when I was younger. And it was always like, people always said that you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And all these years I dismissed it because I thought that that was the case until this happened, and then it happened to my daughter.
Oh, Trina, I am so sorry to hear this.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Yeah.
And those of us with daughters, Bill and me, daughters of almost the same age, have to think about this very strongly.
Constantly.
Yeah, it's a big thing, and your story is devastating.
And someone with sons needs to help tell them what is the proper way to treat a woman, and if there is some false accusations, that could be devastating as well.
Right, and I'm certainly talking.
I didn't think it was wrong. I didn't. I mean, I just realized. I mean, I've heard so many years that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, you asked for it.
Oh.
And then my daughter, when she's in her 20s, you know, she gets too drunk, doesn't, or whatever, and the guy, she isn't able to say no, or she says no, and he takes advantage of her. Now she's truly messed up.
And, you know, it doesn't make it right, even if you're too drunk, or even if you're a girl who parties, there still is no explanation for this.
Well, and she really wasn't, in that case, a girl that parties. He was the one that sort of set this up to get her a little boozed up. He had a plan.
That's terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
Hope for more healing for both of you, Trina.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you
for calling, Trina. We have to take a break. Eric, appreciate you being here as always. We'll see you in a week. It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.